Is that better? Sounds like it. Thank you for the testimonies that were shared this morning and your honesty. Ray, you preached my message this morning. All of us are faced with difficulties in life. And then we have the opportunity, like my title says, to choose God's way. With that title, I'm implying something. And that there is a different way to choose. But my title says, Choosing God's Way. And by the way, I was just thinking about the cold. I've met a lot of homeless people in the last, 6 months. I don't know where they're at today. Are there warming centers? Do they have a place inside? But if you want a good book to read, I don't normally give you this, but this morning I'm going to suggest a book for you to read. This book is titled Under the Overpass. I don't know if you've read that or not, those of you, some of you may have, but it's about two men who chose homelessness. They didn't have to, but they chose it for close to a year just to go out there and experience what the homeless people are experiencing and to find out who really are they? What can they do to help? So I'll just throw that out to you. If you'd like a good book to read, it's cold outside anyhow. If you have a chance to be inside, Under the Overpass. It is good. Harold says it is good. Okay, I'd like for you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I had been going through 1 Corinthians, and that has not come to an end. But I felt like this is an area where God has been leading me in the past couple of weeks as I've been seeking Him and asking Him, Lord, what do you really want? What should I share this morning? And this kept coming back to me over and over. We're going to look a bit at Solomon. Solomon had some choices that he had to make. All of us have choices. Ray had a choice. Matthew had a choice. What are we going to do with the situations that come along in life? And we all have them. There's none of us sitting here this morning that can say, no, nothing like that happens to me. We all have situations in life. We all have to make choices. In Deuteronomy 28, and we're not going to go there, but Deuteronomy 28, God is having a conversation with Moses, and He's giving him a whole bunch of ways in which they can honor Him. Rituals, laws, whatever you want to call them, to follow. And He says, if you don't follow these, there are curses. If you follow these, there are blessings. Now let's remember, that's Old Testament. But that is what was happening in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Before we get into 2 Chronicles 7, we're going to back up a little bit. We're going to see a little bit what was happening prior to this. What is the setting? So we back up in 2 Chronicles there. We go to the first chapter. We see where Solomon is now taking leadership. He is the king. David, his dad, has died. Solomon is now taking his place as king. And you look down to verse 6 in chapter 1. It tells us that Solomon was offering sacrifices in the tabernacle. So God did not yet have a place to dwell in as far as the temple goes. David had wanted to build a temple. God said, no, you're a man of blood. Your son will do this. So Solomon was now at the place where he could move ahead with that. In verse 7 it says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. You know, we come to God and we ask Him for things. Here, God was coming to Solomon saying, what do you want? What would you like? I can think of all kinds of things other than what Solomon asked for. But this is what Solomon asked for. Thou hast showed great mercy, verse 8, He's talking back to God again. Now he says, "Thou show great mercy unto David, my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God," and he's declaring here that he is his God, "let thy promise unto David, my father, be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude." Then verse 10, he says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge." I love that. Solomon knew what to ask for. He said, "Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" So Solomon says, just give me wisdom and knowledge. I want to understand. I want to know how to work with the people. Then God responded in verse 11 to Solomon. He says, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee." And he doesn't stop with that. He says, "And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Wow. Solomon received so much of God that he was willing to give him. Now, let's go on over to chapter 6. We're going to come to the last couple verses of chapter 6. Here, Solomon had spent all this time now in between here building the temple. And everything was completed. We're going to go to verse 40 of 2 Chronicles 6. This is what Solomon said in verse 40. It says, "Now my God," and Solomon had, let me back up just a bit here. Solomon was praying. He prayed a very long prayer. You think the prayers that we have here sometimes may be a minute long. They're just pushing our luck. Solomon prayed for a very long time with the people. Part of that time he was on his knees. Part of that time it looks like he was standing and blessing the people. But he was praying with the people right there. Verse 40, it says, "Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." In other words, the prayer that I just shared, can you please hear that prayer? "Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place." Here he's inviting God into the tabernacle as a dwelling place. "Thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy Savior." So an invitation for God, "I've built the temple. As you said, use it now as your dwelling place, and hear my prayer." This is what happened in chapter 7 here, first couple of verses there, then he says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." Where does your mind go to when you think about that? My mind goes back to when the disciples, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Fire showed up, and there was a presence that came in. And it filled them. We have that same opportunity today as the temple of God for that presence, the Holy Spirit to come and to indwell us to where we are full. Harold talked about surrender a bit ago. I asked somebody this week, I said, "Can we surrender and hang on just to a little bit?" And their comment was, "That's not surrender." As we surrender, we continue our walk with God. There are things that show up and He continues to clean us up. But we give Him everything. He's a jealous God. He's not satisfied with part of us. He wants all of us. Verse 2, "And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord hath filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down," watch their response here. "When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground on the pavement." There was worship. They saw a holy God, His presence filling the temple. "They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I had to think, why are they saying his mercy endureth forever? Because they could have been consumed. This is a holy God. I was reading just lately about how God's name is used today. And so many times we hear people using his name in vain. They're swearing on it, or they're using it to bet on, or doing something like that with God's name. There was a time when they wouldn't even call out his name, Jehovah. They used Adonai instead because it was so holy to them. They did not want to use his name. Yet we use it so lightly today. He is a holy God. His presence is here this morning. I think it's important for us to realize his holiness. So fire came down, and God honored his prayer. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7 now, in verse 12. Let's see if this works. It does not. You might have to move me to the next one. Thank you. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12 through 14 says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." Now Solomon gets an answer. "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." So he's saying, I will use this house as a place you can come and you can sacrifice. And then he gives him a lot of ifs. Let's pay attention to the ifs in these verses. Verse 13, he says, "If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." And then he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I don't know how many of you remember Harold sharing about this specific verse. Who can remember what the date was? If I'm not mistaken, I didn't go back and check on this. It was either the week before or the week after the September 11th happening. What year was that? 2000? Anyhow, it was either the Sunday before or the Sunday after. That has stuck with me. If. Life is so full of ifs, isn't it? If healing happens. If she or he stays with me. If my children walk with the Lord, or if they don't. If God would only answer my prayer. We have a lot of ifs, don't we? Solomon was given some ifs here. God was telling Solomon, if you are committed, if you will follow, if you are faithful, if you are surrendered. What if God's asking those questions of myself, of you? Will I be committed? Will I follow him? Will I be faithful to him? Will I surrender? That's a choice we can make, or we can choose another route. My route. Solomon's day judgment was instant. We see that through a lot of the Old Testament, where there was instant death. Actually, we see that in the New Testament, still focusing on the old, where Ananias and Sapphira, they came in and they lied to the Holy Spirit. What happened? Instantly, Ananias died. His wife shows up. She lies to the Holy Spirit. She's out. She's also buried. But in the New Testament, I want us to get a picture of this. In the New Testament, we don't have instant judgment. God gives us freedom to choose. But there are repercussions. I think it's important that we know that. God gives us the freedom to choose. He allows us to make decisions. But Those choices are going to determine something. They're going to determine our destiny. And every one of us sitting here this morning has a destiny. There's none of us here this morning that's going to bypass. There's a time coming where our destiny is going to be determined. We will stand before a righteous judge. And there are only two comments that I know of that can happen when that takes place that we are going to hear. The first comment that I have listed there is, "Well done, come on in." That's what we want to hear. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And there's another one that we don't want to hear. It says, "Sorry, I never knew you." I'm not one that puts a whole lot of stock in dreams, but yet on the other hand, I've had some dreams that God has spoken to me very, very clearly. Many years ago, I had a dream, and there was a brother in the church, and I have no idea what this dream means. And I'm not here trying to declare a dream to you. But God gave me such a clear picture of so many people standing around, and there was a judgment. And I remember so clearly, he was tossed into a hole of flames. I have no idea what that means today, but it's something that God allowed me to have in a dream to help me in my Christian walk. Not a fear thing. Yeah, there is fear. But God is a holy God, and the choices that I make today are going to determine where we're at. Let's back up a little bit in 2 Chronicles. We're going to go to chapter 6, and let's find out why God was talking to Solomon in this way. Verse 26 says, and I'm going to read a little section of 26 to 31. And here Solomon was praying, and he was pleading with God. He said, "When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee," talking about the children of Israel there with him, "yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou doest afflict them, then hear thou from heaven." Solomon's just begging God, "Can you hear from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel? When thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers." So this was the reason that God gave Solomon this answer. God was giving him an answer and telling him that "I will hear." Verse 13 and 14, he's repeating a bit of what Solomon had said. And then he says, "I will hear. I will be attentive to what you ask of me." But there's an underlying commitment that has to be made that we see in verse 14. Let's just look at that for a little bit here. This underlying commitment that he's asking of them. "They shall humble themselves," and we'll look at this a little bit later here, but he says they shall humble themselves. There's four words in here I want us to pick up. Humble themselves. "They shall pray. They shall seek my face." So we have humble, pray, and seek. And the next one is turn. He says, "Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So they had a choice. You and I also have that choice today. What are we going to do with what God brings our way? Ray shared the struggle that he has faced. Things fall apart. But he wants to trust God. That's what God is asking of us. That we turn our hearts towards him. We're all faced with these things. Turn our hearts towards him. He calls here for repentance. Is really what he's calling for. Turn from your wicked ways. What is repentance? Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2. And he was talking to the people. There was a large crowd. And as he was preaching, he spoke pretty directly to them. And he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified. He was talking specifically to them. This Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. And it says there that they were pricked in their heart. They wanted to know, what can we do? Peter told them, repent. Repentance is not very common today. Repentance is something that we just kind of push to the side. And God, you know my heart, but I'm actually not going to come to you and repent. You know my heart good enough. You know I want good. But he's calling for repentance. I would like to tell you that I live a life that every day I fall on my knees and I repent. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's those days where I don't. But when we see the holiness of God, it drives us to our knees. And there's lots of repentance. I'm going to challenge each one of us with that this morning. How do I see God? Do I see him as one who hands out goodies all day long? He's a holy God. And in the midst of all that holiness, he loves us. He loves us dearly. He loves us so much, like Ray said, there's times that we get a God spanking. And he brings us right back in line. I didn't let my children run free. If one of my children did something that they knew they shouldn't do, and they rebelled against it, I loved them. But it was painful. Sometimes it hurts me as much, hurt me as much as it hurt them, I think. But I loved them enough that I wanted them to head the right direction. And I believe that's why God, the times that he comes to us and he gives us the God spanking, he said, I want you to come back and follow hard after me. I'm a holy God. So the people here in Acts, their sin was exposed. Now they had a choice. And I believe God, through his Holy Spirit, speaks into our life if we listen. And we find those areas where we're going the wrong way, and he gently leads us back to where we need to be. They had a choice they had to make. And they chose to repent. So what is this repentance anyhow? We can have all kinds of different ideas, different ways to explain this. But it's just a very simple thing. It has to do with the heart. But it also has to do with a change of our mind. Look at Zacchaeus for a second. Zacchaeus had somebody ask, can I come into your house? And he said, yeah. He wanted to see this somebody. He wanted to see Jesus. And as Jesus was there and as he loved on him, I don't know what all happened. We don't. But Zacchaeus had a mind change. And since he had a mind change, he also had a heart change. Ezekiel 36:26 tells us that he comes and he gives us a new heart. And he puts a new spirit within us. A change takes place. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So yeah, it's a change of thinking, and it goes a lot deeper than that. It's a change of thinking, and it's also a change, we'll find out here in a bit, it's a change of direction. Many today would like to say that I have repented. I want to follow hard after God, but I'm not changing my direction. I'm going to continue down the path that I have chosen for myself. Can I ask you this morning, is that repentance? I don't believe so. Because when we repent, there's surrender that goes with that. And in that surrender, I'm saying, God, it's no longer about Lynn. But now it's about you. And it's about what you desire. Romans 12:2 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new." The old life doesn't work no more. God offers to us repentance, and it will transform our thinking. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." I believe that's what the children of Israel were saying when they got on their knees and they said, "His mercy endures forever." They realized the long-suffering part of God. He is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but that we all come to repentance. And then he says in the next verse, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." That's reality. Today we have that opportunity. We have the opportunity to come to repentance, because he says that day is coming, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's a verse that should speak into each one of our hearts this morning. Not a fear, but a desire to be with a God who loves us, who has made a way for us to come to repentance. I don't like to do what ifs, but what if he would have said no? You Gentiles have no opportunity. You're out. All of us would be out. He didn't give us that. Instead, he said, "I would." I have to read that. "But that all should come to repentance." That all includes every one of us here this morning. God was promising healing to their land. And I want to bring this over into a spiritual sense this morning. Let's look at verse 14 again there in 2 Corinthians 7, 2 Chronicles 7. He says, "If my people," who are my people? Those of us who have received His forgiveness. "If my people, which are called by my name," we're Christians, "shall humble themselves," that in itself is a tough task, isn't it? Because we all think pretty highly of ourselves. I didn't look this up, but I had to think about the two men on the street that were praying. The one who was so glad that he just wasn't like Ernie, but he was just better. And the other one that said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And we know which one God heard. There was humility. Pray the prayer of humility. And then seeking His face, turning from their wicked ways. I must have pushed the wrong button. Thank you. That's not the only place I'm behind, Harold. Thank you. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. Let me see if I can read this. It says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." What a beautiful verse. A verse where he talks in the second verse there about being humble and gentle. Jeremiah 29, verse 10 through 14. I have 11 through 13 listed, I guess. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." We have the story of Jesus as he goes out after the lost sheep. He's seeking after us. Here he gives us also the opportunity. Now I realize this is Old Testament, but he still gives us the opportunity to seek after him. And then we have the word turn. Seek is in that verse also, but turn. God has given us the opportunity today to turn, to go a different direction than what we've been going. And I want to leave you with a verse out of Isaiah. And this verse just speaks to me, and I don't know what it's going to do for you this morning, but Isaiah 41:10 says this. He says, "Fear thou not." Now I want you to look at the two phrases he's got here. First he says, "Fear thou not." The next one is, "Be not dismayed." The first one, when he says, "Fear thou not," he says, "I'm with you." You know how it is when we're scared, we're all by ourselves? There's fear sometimes. I remember as a young boy, I didn't like the dark. You would be amazed how fast that little bicycle would go when I had to go past the cemetery in the dark. There was a fear there. But God here says, "I'm with thee." Today we have the Holy Spirit with us. Would I have had somebody else on a bicycle next to me? It would have been all good. But here he says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen." These are the promises that I believe are for us here today, if we walk with him. He says, "I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." To me, that was such a promise as I read that. I'm not alone. Yeah, I've got some choices I need to make. Some of those choices are hard. But he says, "I'm going to be with you. I'm right there beside you. If you choose the right, I will walk with you." I want to give us a picture this morning in these choices that we make, that we are in a day where God says, "Yes, I will be with you." We're not instantly cut off. We are in a day where he shows his grace and mercy, but we're not going to leave out the fact that there is a day coming when that will come to an end. And each one of us has to make that decision today. I will hear. I will walk with him today. And then I'll walk with him throughout all of eternity. I don't know what that's going to be like. But there's some that met that this week. Some that are all excited because they have stepped on the other side and they met the Lord. There's those that they also passed. They're at a place that is not heaven. I'm going to ask you this morning to stand. I believe God wants us this morning to choose him. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would bow your heads. You may come forward if you'd like to. You don't have to. You can raise your heart to God where you're at. And you can make that commitment this morning that, "God, I will choose you. I'm going to choose your way and not mine." Let's just be in silence for a bit. And I'm going to encourage those of you who have been faithful that you would continue your prayers this morning. God, this morning we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, you know my heart. You know each heart here this morning. Father, you know our desires. You know what we want when we walk out these doors today, whether we want you or whether we want self. And Lord, we also realize that you have prepared a place for us that is beyond what we can think of. Oh Lord, we look forward to the time when we can be in your presence and we can worship at your feet. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would speak into our hearts, that you would help us to hear, to be attentive. And Lord, that you would change our hearts, that you would put a love within us for each other as a brotherhood, that would break down all barriers, because your love is so great. I pray your blessing on each one of us here today. I pray that we would seek you wholeheartedly. Thank you for your promise that you will be with us, that we don't have to be dismayed, that you'll be there for us. We love you so much, and we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you this morning, if God has spoken to you, share it with somebody. Pray with somebody today. Allow God to bring healing. Allow God to bring newness into your life. It's not about us, but it's about a holy God who loves us and who's calling us to be close to him. God bless you this morning. Thank you so much for your attentiveness. Ernie, do you have a song? Amen.